From the University of Texas at Austin, KUT Radio, this is In Black America.
I would say it wasn't me per se. What it was the genuine interest that our clients showed for this information when we produced our very, very first report that was specifically focused on African American consumers. So this will be our 10th report. Every year since then, we have produced these reports that highlight all of the consumption habits and behaviors about African Americans in one really important document, one report. And we've been doing that also with our Hispanic consumers and our Asian American consumer segments. And so our clients have expressed an interest because, as you know, the number one fastest growing population here in the United States are multicultural consumers. And so brands really want to know if they want to stay in business going forward, they want to know how to connect with those multicultural consumers.
Jill Gray, Senior Vice President of Strategic Community Alliances and Consumer Engagement with the Nielsen Company. According to Grace, the Renaissance scene with African Americans in entertainment and in the arts is really because of new platforms that are available like streaming services and podcasts. Because opportunity for niche content, African Americans are actually gravitating towards those platforms. There's been an increase in Netflix usage because they have been unapologetically going after the African-American audience. As we enter a new decade, Nielsen is highlighting the influence of Black culture over the past 10 years. 2010 to 2014 saw a tipping point in which we saw a more global proliferation of African-American creativity, a new Black Renaissance. This is due in part to the continued rise of digital and social media. I'm Johnny O'Hanson, Jr., and welcome to another edition of In Black America. On this week's program, The New Black Renaissance with Cheryl Grace with the Nielsen Company, In Black America.
What we've found is if you take a step back in the last decade and you start to look at, you know, how things have changed in the last 10 years, and back in 2010, we saw that there was a lot more diverse content shown on streaming platforms, on cable and broadcast television. And since then, there's been a visible increase in how Black communities, Black consumers, Black individuals are represented and how we're actually reached through all of these communications platforms. So again, that shift, I think, started in 2010. You started to see it when Kerry Washington was selected as the first leading lady in a television series for Scandal. We hadn't seen that since Get Christy Love.
Since 2010, there's been a visible increase in how African-American communities are represented and reached across various platforms. Data from a recent Nielsen report on African-American consumers revealed that shifts can be seen across industries, from increased African-American music and entertainment content featured on television and streaming services, to the rise of African-American influence in fashion, sports, technology, and beyond. This period has been tagged the New Black Renaissance. Cheryl Grace with the Nielsen Company says that African-American creativity has truly been reclaimed in the past decade and is visible from the increasing influence of African-American consumers, business leaders, and influencers. We are seeing the increasing power of African Americans, not just in places where we can expect it, like sports and rap music, but also as content and product creators. Recently, In Black America spoke with Grace from her home in Chicago.
I'm Cheryl Grace, and I'm the Senior Vice President of U.S. Strategic Community Alliances and Consumer Engagement. And yeah, say that fast three times. And basically what that means is that I help the company talk to our consumers, our clients, and communities about the consumption habits and behaviors of consumers, primarily multicultural consumers. And so we engage in important conversations and dialogues, not only to ensure that consumers, marketers, well, I should say consumers and community groups understand their buying power, but also to ensure that marketers and manufacturers and retailers understand and appreciate and value African-American, Hispanic-Americans, and Asian-Americans' buying power.
What was your previous positions before you took on in Nielsen?
So I've been in Nielsen now. It will be 16 years as of June. And prior to that, I was in the television industry. I worked for the NBC local affiliate here in Chicago, where I'm based.
How did you convince Nielsen that what you were seeing and what was trending needed to be measured in the long term?
So I would say it wasn't me per se. What it was the genuine interest that our clients showed for this information. When we produced our very, very first report that was specifically focused on African-American consumers. We did that in the year 2011, and every year since then, so this will be our 10th report, every year since then, we have produced these reports that highlight all of the consumption habits and behaviors about African-Americans in one really important document, one report. And we've been doing that also with our Hispanic consumers and our Asian American consumer segment. And so our clients have expressed an interest because, as you know, the number one fastest growing population here in the United States are multicultural consumers. Mm-hmm. And so brands really want to know if they want to stay in business going forward, they want to know how to connect with those multicultural consumers.
Now, we've always known that what we do, the world wanted to know what we do and how we did it. So how do we get to the point where this new renaissance is actually taking shape?
So what we've found is if you take a step back in the last decade and you start to look at, you know, how things have changed in the last 10 years, and back in 2010, we saw that there was a lot more diverse content that was starting to be shown on streaming platforms, on cable and broadcast television. And since then, there's been a visible increase in how Black communities, Black consumers, Black individuals are represented and how we're actually reached through all of these communications platforms. So, again, that shift, I think, started in 2010. You started to see it when Kerry Washington was selected as the first leading lady in a television series for Scandal. We hadn't seen that since Get Christy Love, if you remember Christy Love back in the 70s.
Ooh, see, now you're telling us.
Get Christy Love, you remember that?
Yes, ma'am.
I was just a kid, you know, but I remember the show. But so we, like, have started to see this increase in interest across all platforms. So it's caused a rise in Black influence in fashion and sports and technology. And we thought of this as the new Black Renaissance. And so we've been trying to tell that story over the course of the last couple of months.
Well, obviously you all have been collecting the data. Were there any surprises that when you went back and looked at the information that you all had gathered that we are where we are right now?
So I think for me, from taking a look at that very first report 10 years ago to where we are now, the biggest shift and surprise has been twofold. One is in our spending power, our buying power. When we first started doing this report, we were spending annually about $969 billion a year as an African-American consumer segment. And now we're spending over $1.3 trillion a year. So our spend has increased rapidly, and it's grown faster than the non-Hispanic white spending habits have. So we spend money at a growth rate of about 114%. Compared to the non-Hispanic white community, who their spending has increased at about an 87-89% growth rate. So
Now we touched on this in our last conversation. The numbers have increased. African Americans are, you know, spending at a larger clip than the majority population, but still advertisers are not advertising in black media or black television and or in media in general that reflect the dominance that African Americans have in the market.
Correct. The spend on advertising has not grown in pace with the spend that blacks are spending money. And so that continues to be an opportunity. It continues to be an opportunity for those of us who are African-American consumers to say, hey, you know, we appreciate when brands pay attention to where we're showing up.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason this whole new black renaissance understanding is so important is because it gives you an opportunity to see where we're showing up. And it provides those companies that are really interested in understanding how to reach us. It gives us a chance to see how they're reaching out to us and to see that they're doing well. So I use Netflix as an example simply because Netflix has unapologetically gone after the African-American consumer. And even this month, during Women's History Month, you have the show that is highlighting Madam C.J. Walker, which is a wonderful show. I learned so much watching it, and I'm very appreciative that Netflix is airing, you know, shows during Women's History Month, not during Black History Month, although not to say that it's not important during Black History Month, but recognizing that, you know, Madam C.J. Walker was the first female millionaire in the United States, period. Not the first black female, but the first female, period. So her history being shown during a Women's History Month special, to me, shows that Netflix gets that not only am I an African-American, I'm also a woman, and I can be approached and appreciated on both of those platforms.
Generally, overall, we're seeing more African-American celebrities as endorsers of products. Do you see this trend continuing?
I do, simply because a large percentage of African-Americans actually say that they are more likely to buy a product if it is sponsored or represented by a celebrity. Celebrities mean a lot to us. Image means a lot to African-Americans. One of the reasons is simply because, you know, for so long, we were not thought to be beautiful, important, et cetera. And so when we see other cultures celebrating our celebrities, we also recognize the importance of supporting brands and products that give those celebrities an opportunity. Because, you know, if we mess up as an African-American, we don't often get another opportunity for someone else to come along and mess up too. Like, we'll get one strike and you're out. And so it's really important for us as consumers to appreciate and value and purchase products and services that are being sponsored and promoted by celebrities. Image means a lot to us.
I don't know if I got a chance to ask you this question, and it's in the bag conversation we had, but how important are women, African-American women and females in particular, for the buying power that African-Americans have overall?
Yeah, I think when, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but we've done this study before, and I believe in 2014 and in 2018, we focused specifically on African-American women, and we know that they represent 52% of the black population, but we impact almost all of the purchasing habits and decision-making in households. And again, I wish I could just pull that number right off the top of my head, but I know that it's a very high number in that what we find to be important in how we're spending our money generally is the direction that those dollars are going to flow. So oftentimes when I'm out giving presentations and I'm in front of a mixed gender audience, I'll ask all the guys in the room to raise their hands if they are able to go out and make any large purchases without a woman who's also in that household weighing in on it. And rarely do I get more than one brave hand that goes up. And usually, you know, there's some caveat when his hand goes up. But, you know, for African-American women, we do have and bear the brunt of the decision-making when it comes to how those $1.3 trillion are being spent.
We'll be back with more In Black America after this message.
If you're just joining us, I'm Johnny Ohanson Jr., and you're listening to In Black America from KUT Radio. And I'm speaking with Cheryl Gray, Senior Vice President of Community Alliances and Consumer Engagement with the Nielsen Company. Ms. Grace, when you ventured into this particular realm of documenting and collecting research and data on African-American consumers, did you think it would have such an impact that it has today?
That's a great question. I knew that when I saw the data coming across my desk every day back in 2011, that we needed to do something with this information. And Nielsen has external advisory councils. And when I shared some of that information with our council members, our African-American council members, they too saw that there was a great deal of value in this. And it's one of the reasons we really thought that if we were finding out this information for the first time, then we couldn't imagine that the rest of the world knew about it. And so when we put it out there, did I imagine that it would turn into a whole series of reports and that it would actually constitute a team of people going out and speaking about multicultural consumers? I did not. I just knew that it was information that I felt would be of value for clients and for consumers alike. And so I think that's really the key to the success of these reports, is that we don't just create reports for companies and brands and manufacturers. We want to make sure that you as a consumer understand what your power is, and that you as small business owners understand what your power is, and you can use some of these same insights and trends in our report to help you with your small business. And I think that's why the reports have grown exponentially in popularity over the course of the last 10 years.
With everyone doing social distancing and on lockdown, more or less, how are these streaming services benefiting from a, I guess, captivated audience?
So, you know, streaming, there's like a ton of streaming that's going on right now, because in Nielsen, at Nielsen, we know generally that staying in your homes can lead to an almost 60% increase in the amount of streaming content we watch. And right now, I think nearly 19% of the time that consumers are spending on TV at home is through streaming. Now, that's before the COVID-19 hit. Yeah, and those numbers are going to continue to increase as we're living a new normal, given the containment measures that we have here in the United States. And what we're seeing is that the streaming platforms have gotten very deliberate, right, in how they're coming after the at-home audience, because you're seeing ads pushing you toward libraries, if you will, like, because we're binge watching. So
exactly.
You know, what's current isn't going to be enough for me if I'm home like every day watching television for XYZ number of hours of days. So they're pushing ways to get your kids engaged in watching TV, their streaming platforms, using the streaming options that you have for kid shows. So you have seen an increase in pushing people toward their libraries instead of new content, where maybe the shows haven't even finished production yet, right? So we're looking at how we're watching a lot differently. So we've got, in my household right now, we've got a couple of generations, mm-hmm. and there are five of us. So we're having movie night, and I'm getting to see the movies that my son and his generation like, mm-hmm. and then we're sharing movies with them. And it's really interesting watching things that you wouldn't normally watch.
Exactly.
So I think that you're going to see an uptick in suddenly if your platform had identified the types of shows that you watch and then they give you other shows like that. Well, now I think they're going to think I'm schizophrenic because now I'm watching all kinds of things that I normally never would have popped up. So you're seeing a lot of that.
I know you can't speak for Netflix, but what do you believe they saw that other streaming services didn't see or were slow to react to?
I don't know what Netflix saw. I know that there have been a number of platforms that have unapologetically come after the eyeballs of African-American viewers. Netflix is one of them. Mm-hmm. I also know that OWN has unapologetically gone after the African-American woman viewer. You know, BET has been our staple, of course, and has often decided that our viewing is important and made us a priority for many years. So what I do know is when we have profitable programs and the other streaming platforms see this, they recognize it's not about color other than the color green.
Right.
And if you can make me more green, then I'm going to give you what you want. And that may just be content focused on African Americans.
As you say that, is this an opportunity out there for young entrepreneurs, be it African Americans or whatever, for them to, you know, put programs together? Because it looks like we're going to be in this for a long haul.
I do see this as an opportunity for content creators, absolutely, because it is important to have content for mm-hmm. us to tune into. And so suddenly you can watch TV 24/7 now and never,
Close
ever hit the bottom, right? And never hit the bottom of the offering.
Mm-hmm.
And so in order to do that, you have to keep those content offerings coming. And so that means we're seeing a great opportunity to move beyond the standard, you know, thug, gangbanger, sidekick, best friend. We're moving beyond those one-dimensional characters, and we're starting to see multidimensional characters. And that's what we're tuning into now while we're at home. We're watching the different types of programs that show us multidimensional African Americans. I want to see people who look like me and who can help tell that story. Back in the 80s, we had, you know, a couple of shows maybe, and that was, you know, the Bill Cosby Show. And we held that family up as the family that was not necessarily the norm.
Exactly.
And it certainly wasn't the norm on television. And now you're starting to see with Black-ish and This Is Us and some of those other broadcast shows, you're starting to see that, yeah, we are a part of mainstream America, and our stories are just as diverse. We're not a monolithic group of people, and those stories, it's time that they're being told. So, yes, if you have content ideas, now's a great time to be in the business.
Now, I'm going to be unapologetic. I do watch some of the Tyler Perry dramas, and when they are on, there's a lot of hair care products. So how important is this data and research of African Americans who participate in the hair care community?
The beauty industry, period, is a huge industry, and African Americans, particularly in the hair care space, play a critical role. We have gone from the ethnic hair care category, which is primarily any of those products that are generally meant for African-American women and men, right, to now the organic, natural hair care, which is still to a large extent ethnic hair care. They're just calling it something different than packaging. And so it's a big industry. It is an important industry because what we know is that African-American women and men are key influencers across all demographics. And so if you see a woman with, like, beautiful curly hair, textured hair, mm-hmm. and then you see a product on the shelf that is meant for textured hair or curly hair, you may not even necessarily be African-American, but you may want to try that product just because you'd like to see if it will work on your hair. So I'm not mad at the advertisers for putting that out there because it is a growing trend and blacks are leading that trend.
At the end of the day, or at the end of any particular year, now a decade, how does your involvement in gathering this information make you feel?
I'm very proud. I feel as if you can't say anything else about my tenure at Nielsen over the course of the last 16 years, I feel as if I have left a legacy behind that will not only benefit Nielsen, but benefit our clients and, more importantly, benefit our communities as well. And that makes me very proud. So I feel great about the work we're doing. I feel great about how we are looking at COVID-19 and the impact that it's having on multicultural consumers and our purchasing habits and behaviors and whether or not we're going to find what the new normal looks like mm-hmm. after this is all over, how blacks are going to be impacting that, how Hispanic consumers are impacting that, and how Asian American consumers are impacting that. So I'm very, very proud of the work that I've done. It's a great thing to get up and go to work or go downstairs to work as the case has been these last couple of weeks. And to know that you're doing good for a number of entities. And that's how I feel.
Speaking of doing good, I read somewhere where you're making some type of inroads with the pharmaceutical companies.
So what you probably saw was that when we talked through the top advertisers that are focused on audiences that are African-American, there were a number of pharmaceutical companies that made that list.
Cheryl Great, Senior Vice President of Strategic Community Alliances and Consumer Engagement with the Nielsen Company. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions as to future In Black America programs, email us at inblackamerica@kut.org. Also, let us know what radio station you heard us over. Remember to like us on Facebook and to follow us on Twitter. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station or of the University of Texas at Austin. You can hear previous programs online at KUT.org. Until we have the opportunity again for technical producer David Alvarez, I'm Johnny O'Hanson Jr. Thank you for joining us today. Please join us again next week.
CD copies of this program are available and may be purchased by writing In Black America CDs. KUT Radio, 300 West Dean Keaton Boulevard, Austin, Texas, 78712. That's In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 300 West Dean Keaton Boulevard, Austin, Texas, 78712. This has been a production of KUT Radio.